Good evening and welcome to the 21st annual CUNY Asia American Film Festival. And it's great to see so many people here. Thank you. I'm Ryoya Terao. I teach in the Department of Entertainment Technology at City Tech, the New York City College of Technology. I'm chairing this film festival now. I would like to thank everyone for attending tonight's special event. And I hope the semester went very nicely if you're a student and maybe you're graduating. Okay. And many thanks also to my fellow festival judges, Nahi Ann, Patrick Chen, Vinit Palmer, Brian Powers, JT Takagi, and Larry Tung, plus the AARI staff for putting together tonight's program. Established in 2001, the Asian American and Asian Research Institute is a university-wide scholarly research and resource center on policies and issues that affect Asian and Asian Americans. Does anybody know the difference between Asians and Asian Americans? Can be tricky, actually. Yes?
So an Asian American is an American with Asian heritage. Asians is somebody born in Asia.
Okay. But also Asians who don't live here, basically. Yeah. Good. Thank you very much. In addition to tonight's film festival, ARI, AARI, hosts multiple lectures and conferences throughout the year and provides various student scholarship opportunities as well. Okay. Since our first film festival in 2004, we were on Zoom, for like 3 years. Then we came back in person last year, which I missed, but I'm back here today, and so this is the 21st annual festival. The Institute has screened and awarded student films throughout CUNY that involve key Asian production personnel or engages in an Asian American and Asian theme or narrative. Okay. Yeah, just need to be accurate. Asian and Asian American theme. Can be overlapping, but different. So, ARI has awarded over, how much money do you think we have awarded, cash awards to students? Very good. You knew the answer. Close, 14,900. Very good. in cash hour, cash prizes to how many students over the years? Close, 91 students. Okay, throughout CUNY. And tonight we'll be adding more names to that list of talented filmmakers. Okay. All right. In addition to cash prizes, past winners have also screened their films at other festivals, including the long-running Asian American International Film Festival in New York City, organized by Asian Cinevision. This year, we received submissions from Borough Manhattan Community College, BMCC, Brooklyn College, City College of New York, College of Staten Island. It's a long list. Hunter College, New York City College of Technology, and Queens College. Okay. For tonight's program, we'll be screening a total of 5 films, roughly 88 minutes, less than 90, 88 minutes. Okay. After the screening, we'll be announcing the winner and the runner-up recipients in the category of fiction and documentary film, followed by a Q&A with the filmmakers. Please note that films that scored above our judging criteria will receive a cash prize. So if it's below, sorry. Okay. I didn't decide the rule, so. Let's enjoy tonight's selections for the 21st annual CUNY Asian American Film Festival. Thank you. See you soon. Well, thank you for staying, and we hope you enjoyed this year's selection of films. Yes. Yeah, congratulations to all the filmmakers. And now what's next, okay? So the moment that you have been waiting for, some of you anyway, the winners and the runner-ups for the 21st annual CUNY Asian American Film Festival. Thank you very much to Con Ed, Consolidated Edison, for sponsoring this year's cash prize awards. The prize for the winner and the runner-ups are $200 and $100 respectively. So $200 for the best award, $100 for the runner-up. Wow, it's so quiet. Everybody's listening. That's good. Okay. And the winners and the runner-ups will also receive Festival Submission Fee Waiver Prizes, courtesy of the Center for Asian American Media and the Philadelphia Asian American Film Festival. Okay. Yeah, so that's good. So lastly, the films shown tonight, all the films, will have an opportunity to be screened at the 47th Asian American International Film Festival, scheduled to take place this year from August 1st to August 11th. So congratulations to all of you. Okay, so ARI, A-A-A-R-I, thanks Asian Cinevision, the Center for Asian American Media, and the Philadelphia Asian American Film Festival for supporting CUNY's student filmmakers. Okay, so here comes the announcement. So far, so good. But unfortunately, this year we don't have a runner-up recipient for fiction. And the winner for best fiction film goes to Singing in the Lifeboat. Thank you. Submitted by Grace Wijaya from City College of New York. Next, the run-up prize for documentary film goes to Screened Off. Submitted by Nicholas Breta from New York City College of Technology. Finally, the award for best documentary film goes to Bengal Memory by Fahim Hamid from Hunter College. And we also would like to welcome the other students that screened their films tonight. Sanjoan Azan from Hunter College, here. Okay. And Hanju Kim from City College of New York. And now for the Q&A session. So everybody has to speak. So I'll start with a few questions, and then open it up to the audience. So be prepared, everybody. And also, could you introduce yourself and remind everybody which film you produced, okay, before you speak? Okay. And if you happen to have your teammates here, you can point that out as well. So question one, how did each one of you come up with the idea of your film?
Sure. Hi everyone, my name is Fahim Hamid. I made the documentary Bengal Memory. And the idea of the film came from, as you can tell from the film, my father's stories and my own interest and curiosity. You know, I read a lot of books about it, did a lot of research. I read The Blood Telegram, Nixon, Kissinger, and a Forgotten Genocide, and kind of developed it over several years. So, yeah.
I'm Nicholas Biotta. I'm producer, writer, director, a lot of it of Screened Off, the one about the textile project. I came to the idea because I was working with a CUNY grant, and due to like time crunches and like kind of like the abandoning of like another project, there was like a lot of other great work that was being done by the grant, and like Dr. Monroe was very willing to be presented as well, and because luckily it was at the school as well, very easy to get everything to come together by like a delivery date. I'd also like to thank my camera person who's here, Julia. Without her, wouldn't have been possible.
And the grant was about anti-hate. That's right.
Hi, my name is Grace Wijaya, and my film is Singing in the Lifeboat. The idea of it came from, I think, the collective experience that I think a lot of us have during the pandemic. We were pretty alone and in maybe limbo about where we are in life and stuff. And I remember during the pandemic, there was also quite a bit of, I don't want to say hate, but a negative kind of connotation about being Asian, and made me question my identity and stuff. So that was where the story was born. And Anis is here. He's my production assistant, and Zag as well, my producer. Thank you.
So I'm Sanjona, and my documentary is called Chom Chom. So I came to America with my parents, but they left, and I decided to stay. And last summer, I went back to Bangladesh after 5 years, and I was just, I thought, like, everything was new, everything was beautiful to me, and I just felt like I need to show that to everyone, and I think it's a hidden gem there. And I would want my friends and everyone here to go there because I have a place there. So if you want to and eat food.
Hi, my name is Hanju Kim, director of the film Circle of Repentance. I came to this idea, when I was in the, what was that? The High Line Park. I was walking along there, and there's like a self-standing door in the middle of the road. And I found that, and I was like, wow, that's so, artistic. So I was like looking at the door for like 3-4 hours like that, and I just happened to came up with this idea.
Question two, how long was the production, and did you encounter any difficulties? You must have.
no difficulties at all. No, it was maybe like, well, I mean, I guess it depends. I kind of developed it several years before, but I think production really started last year, but I developed it the year before, around 2022. I traveled to Bangladesh for some of it. So that was a challenge. I'd never, you know, I hadn't been to Bangladesh in like almost 2 decades. And so going there and trying to figure it out, I'd never filmed there before, you know. So trying to figure all that out was, you know, that was a big difficulty. And then doing all the research as well and finding all this archival footage. Yeah, it was a big undertaking. But yeah, that was probably, you know, some of the main challenges.
This was put together in basically a month because, like I said, working with a grant and how money moves very slowly, especially when they want you to do like a screening in 4 months' time and don't want to give you money for like 2 months of it. It's like you really have to get it together real quick and figure out what you're going to show in a theater when they want you to show something in a theater.
My film was part of my thesis graduation project, so we had a very clear timeline. Overall, I think 1 year is from when the idea was first written down into paper, and then production begins. Production itself, shooting days were just like 3 days. We were very efficient, but then editing and everything else, yeah, total overall probably a year.
It wasn't actually hard for me at all to do this. It was fun. It was very spontaneous. I didn't have a plan. I just told my parents, like, can you take me to these places? And they just took me. People are friendly, you know. You walk up to them, ask something, they will answer you. No problem. So it was like, I would say, a month. It took me a month to shoot and edit and everything, yeah. So,
in my case, it took about a year to finish my script, and it took like 2 months for shooting. And it was really difficult for us because we shot this film about like January this year, and it was like 15 degree outside all the time. And yeah, we know that. Well, here's my DP, Aaron Rebeza, right there. He knows the pain. Right. Yeah, we were like shivering all the time. We're in the pain. So I couldn't push my crew member and my cast member to like shoot like day after like that. So yeah, it took about 2 months. And so in total, it took about like a year and 3-4 months in total. Yeah, I think.
But you made the DP suffer anyway.
Well, apparently he's still alive, so.
That's a good thing. Okay, question number three. What has the reaction been from audiences that have viewed your film? Not about your family, but any reaction that you remember?
Well, I mean prior to this?
If you want to talk about today, yes, sure.
Oh, I guess I don't know how people reacted today. I think that, I think a lot of people, there's a lot of people who don't, if you're not from Bangladesh, you may not know the history, and so a lot of people are surprised to learn, some aspects of it. Some people may know a little, but some of the political stuff is a surprise to them. People are just kind of, because there are a lot of Bangladeshi people, obviously, in New York, and you'll meet them, you'll meet them diaspora everywhere. But a lot of people may not know that some of the people from, like, let's say my father's generation, they lived through that war, and they witnessed that, and, but you never hear from them. And I didn't even hear these stories from my dad until quite a bit later. So even to me, it was a little bit of a surprise to learn some of these things. When you read your history books here in the U.S., you don't really learn about things like these. So for a lot of people, they're surprised to learn that history, and they're intrigued, and they want to know more.
I think the only reaction that I really cared about was Dr. Monroe herself, because, it was a piece that ended up being way more personal about her than both her and I expected, and she was so touched by her own words. She couldn't believe that she put anything as eloquently, and, but she still thought her face looked a little fat, so I'm sorry to her, but I did the best I could.
I think it's pretty okay. The reception was pretty okay. And a lot of people, friends, would come up to me and say, I experienced that too. I had the same thought, and I always like hearing that.
My mom's reaction was very precious. Like, she was so happy. I always tell her, if anything happens in my life or anything I make, I have to show her and tell her. So I did that. I showed her the film for the first time, and she was really happy, and she told me, you should share this to people. It's good. Do it. So she's the best. I love her so much.
When I was, creating this story, actually, I broke up with my girlfriend at the time, who was about to be my wife. We married we dated about, 5 years, 5-6 years, and we broke up. So then I create this story, and it was the story out of severe depression and sorrow like that. And I wanted to be something very depressing, but I wanted to be something depressing, hopeless, something like that. But surprisingly, about 40 to 50% of my audience interpreted this film as a happy ending film, and I really didn't expect that. I was really shocked. And at first I was kind of disappointed about that. I was what? They're supposed to be depressed. What's going on? But now I'm enjoying this various perspective, because I think it kind of helps me to develop myself as a filmmaker. So yeah, that's what I got.
Did your ex-wife see this film?
That's ex-wife.
Yeah, but did she see it?
Well, I don't even know if she's alive right now, so.
So one more question from me, or from the committee. Do you have any current project or upcoming project?
Yes, I have, I'm trying to expand this one a bit more. And I also have another documentary that I made. I'm an MFA student at the Integrated Media Arts Program at Hunter College. I made a documentary about 2 years ago, and it's going to be playing on PBS on July. So I don't know exactly when, but I made a film about local politics in New York City. I think sometime in July it's supposed to come, but I don't even know the date of that. They don't tell me yet. I could share my social media. It's named the film's called County Film. You could find it on social media.
I don't really have anything big to announce. Things are in pre-production. Maybe working on a music video. Don't want to really talk about anything that's not concrete yet. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I don't really have a current project going on. I'm still doing a festival run for this short film and see where that goes.
I do have a personal project that I'm working on. It's about New York City basements. It's really hard to get people to talk about it, because it's such a sensitive thing, and families don't even want to talk about it, and people in the legal field also surprisingly don't want to talk about it, except activists. So I'm trying to get in touch with them, and it's kind of hard, but I don't know when I'm gonna finish it, but I'm gonna keep going.
I spent too much money on this, so I'm broke. I spent too much. So like right now I'm broke. I cannot, you know, I cannot do anything right now. So I have an idea, but that will be like sometimes in like 2000, whatever, like 29 or whatever. You know, I can't do right now, but like, yeah, in the future maybe. Yeah.
You can do a film about your future girlfriend, the future wife.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So good. So let's take questions. Okay, we don't have much time, so we have only two questions that we can take from the audience. Yes.
Well, I think I used to be part of some of the shootings, but the ones that I was able to see and the comments, I'm really happy about those. So in terms of the desired impact to the kind of audience that you were looking for me to reach, what are your expectations?
What kind of audience they're hoping to reach? Okay.
Talk principally which audience I was trying to target and the impact that I'm expecting it to make.
Well, because, like I said, well, because, like Ria, you said, it was working with the CUNY Anti-Hate Grant, so it was specifically about anti-Asian hate, and I wanted to have, like, Dr. Monroe make a really personal statement about her, and her being, like, West Asian and Iranian, plus, like, you know, she was spotlighting these immigrant voices that I felt, while I'm not, like, you know, I think the best way to, like, combat hate is, of course, you know, portraying the people that are facing that hate, so it's, like, so it can be, so it's normalized. So these people are normal, and everyone knows them, especially people that maybe haven't had experiences with, like, all the various, like, Asian cultures or immigrants here in New York.
I guess what I would like to say through the film is to have a sense of humor about the tragedies that are happening, because it was really annoying and sad when it was happening, but it doesn't have to be.
I think my documentary is for everyone. It's about like how, I think more than the food itself, it's about how everyone is connected, how everyone finds joy in things, in food, in culture. I think, you know, Bangladesh, I think media sometimes portrays it as like a poverty-ridden, overly crowded, polluted place. But I think there's a beauty in everywhere. You just have to see it for yourself. So I want everyone to see it. So everyone is my audience.
Well, as I told you guys, I broke with my girlfriend, and I have to go through like really. It's not a joke. Like I have to like. Go through like a severe depression period, about like over a year. I had to like drink every day. I was like trash, and I was like crying every night, drinking every night. It was like fucked up, you know. But like at some point after a year and a little bit more months, like I realized that it's meaningless to be like this. It's meaningless to be drinking all night and being sad all night. It's like there's no point to it. And I just happened to realize that, and like I could just move forward. But like some people are definitely like stuck in that stage and never just be able to get out of there. So I just want those people specifically to watch my film and maybe think of that. What you're doing right now is meaningless and there's no point to it. So, yeah, that's probably my preferred target audience, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'd say target audience, you know, I guess I kind of wanted this to be for everyone anyway. Or just anyone who's curious about, you know, the world around them. I think with everything that's going on in the world today right now, you have humanitarian crises in Palestine, in Sudan, in Congo, and elsewhere. I think a lot of people right now are curious about, you know, how these things came to be, why they're happening, and also the role that our own country, our own government plays in some of these things. So I think a lot of people are curious, and I hope that this film kind of resonates to that, to that curiosity right now. Yeah.
So good, all of you, profound answers. Well, thank you very much for that. Okay, and but it's true, if you apply for a film grant, usually there's a question saying, who's your target audience? So it's good to be prepared to answer. Yeah. We can take one more question from the audience. Yes, the best question, I hope.
Being surrounded in this, you know, room right now with obviously very talented filmmakers, you know, I don't do much film, and it's something that I would like to explore, and I kind of find it hard to get that first, I guess, spark of creativity or vision. And I'm sure that, you know, I'm assuming that some of these are just like classroom assignments that have to be turned in, but for you guys, I guess, that, you know, spark, was it something that you have to develop, or was it something that you just kind of stumbled on, you know, just whether it's from through your own life or through your culture, whatever it is? I guess I'm asking what that process is like.
Well, I guess for me, yeah, the idea came kind of for myself. It came even before I started graduate school, so I had the idea in a way kind of when I started. So this had to do with, this is my thesis film as well. I think someone else also had a thesis film. So I guess I kind of knew what I was going to do before it even came. So I guess I had the idea. So if you have an idea inside you, you know, I'd say go with that. But sometimes you could come up with ideas even without someone just prompting you, try something and it could be something amazing. So, yeah.
I think anyone has like the capabilities to be creative. I think it more has to do with being curious. Like, you know, you've talked to me, Kevin, like throughout the last like 5 months, and you know, like I gave up on like the project that like I really wanted to work on to like just reach a delivery date. And like both came to me like fairly naturally. I feel like the creative spark is maybe a little honed, but it's honed by like your own curiosity through like other means, like books you want to read, movies you want to watch, people you like think are interesting. It could be anything and everything. Like, you know, like I've done improv these last like 3 months. Is that going to help me in the future? Who knows? But now I have something where it's like I've done improv comedy for like Upright Citizens Brigade. And I think that a curious mind can like makes a creative spark much easier to come to.
I think everyone's approach to filmmaking is different. Obviously, your motivation and everything is different. For me, personally, to do something that feels honest to myself, a story that feels real, is what I'm striving for. It was a school project, and I did write a previous thing that I wrote so I could get an A, that kind of thing. And it was not good, because it was just not honest. And so I went back and I asked myself, what's an honest story that I want to say, that I can say, and I come up with this, and I think it's helpful to write about something that you care about, something that grabs you, that holds something, a place in your heart, because you're going to spend money and time, energy, a lot of things, shame, cringe, whatever, to like go through it, so it better be worth it.
I also agree with you, like, start with something personal, because everyone's life is so unique. And start with something small and easy, because it's hard when you're a student filmmaker or a young filmmaker, or actually at any age, if you're starting off like new, then it's going to be really hard to find people, resources, money, grants, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. So start, make it easy and make it like something from your own life. Even though it is unique, you're going to find a lot of people who relate to you. Like so many films and documentaries we watched, I'm pretty sure we all related to it in some ways. So, and just have fun with it.
I definitely agree on everyone's opinion. And yeah, I recommend you to write something about yourself, actually. That's like, in my opinion, that's the easiest way to make something really convincing to your audience. Actually, I was a writer in Korea in a small publishing company, and I wrote like a lot of stories, but my editor never like proved it to actually like publish it, you know. But eventually I got proved, and one book was published, and it was like deeply related to myself. And then I realized, when it comes to like myself, it's like kind of easier to convince my audience or reader. But like don't take it too seriously because like that book is failed as fuck. So, no. But you know, yeah, that's what I want to say.
So this concludes the Q&A session, and congratulations again to all the filmmakers, the presenters, and the winners. Thank you. And I would like to thank you for attending tonight's event and the 21st Annual Asian American Film Festival at the CUNY. Thank you very much. behalf of the Asian American and Asian Research Institute, have a wonderful summer, and we look forward to, again, fantastic films next year, and have a good night. Thank you.